Yo, what up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Fuck Your Feelings. I'm your host, Brunson. We got a live one today here. Everybody, what's up? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up?
What up, though?
Now, I need a little bit more hype, Mr. Bass.
Say what up, though, nigga?
Yo, making money.
So, in the room today, we got the young boy, Phil. Keenan, Lake.
King Keys.
Boy, Smitty. What's going on?
If you ever put my government name on here again, every show.
What's your name then?
Maverick. You know it's Maverick. It's on the
shirt. I'm not calling you Maverick.
You about to call me Maverick
I'm
on
not
this
calling
show.
You no goddamn You're call Maverick. Me Maverick. Your name, your mama
like
named you Phil. I'm going to call you Phil.
In a movie.
God damn it.
What movie is that? Top Gun?
Yeah, Top Gun. Mm-hmm. Or Maverick.
You want a
you know,
white
you know
man.
Top Gun about two gay dudes, right?
The one about
is that what we're talking about right now?
I need y'all to find a definition of what Maverick is.
We don't want to.
I know Top Gun.
I know Top Gun, and it's a white man.
Not no movie, no definitions.
And what we going on? Black Lives Matter.
Fact checker. Can you please define Maverick?
Our fact checker, sleepy as hell.
Producer, yeah, look at him.
Is out.
He looks stressed out.
Thank you, everybody, for being here, because I know it was travels, planes, trains, and automobiles to get here. I appreciate it.
I just drove a few miles.
Thank you for that, Tiffany. We appreciate that. All right, so let's get started into this shit. Okay, so
do you really want me to define Maverick?
I found it.
Please do. Unbranded calf, cow, or steer.
Yeah, that's what Phil looks
so
like.
You a
unbranded
calf?
You a buck?
You a heifer?
That
is separate.
He a buck?
Separated from his mother.
Since niggas got jokes, just like Phil.
I think he wants you to look in the other
dictionary.
I don't think that was the definition he was looking for.
Now he online like, no, I gotta redeem
myself. I think you were looking for the definition of
unorthodox or independent mind person.
Thank you, because that's number one. There's a number one next to it, but he read the number two.
No, that's number one in my dictionary.
What's the dictionary? You got the urban dictionary?
Wait, you got the motherfucking
dictionary.
I ain't know Samuel Jackson came out with a dictionary. You got the motherfucking dictionary.
So we got a calf with separation issues.
Two core Smitty. And somebody else got a name. Who is it?
Everybody got a name in this bitch.
I'm just Lake.
That's Ricky
Lake. To the lakes and the waterfalls that you used to.
Two strands. Tiff.
And the calf with separation issues.
Why'd you sound why you say that sound so smooth, jazzy?
I hate all y'all.
All right, so look, let's get this shit started before Smitty's small asleep on the couch.
Okay.
Small
yeah, but
small asleep.
Small asleep. He's going to sleep. Small asleep. Because I can't talk right now.
Time.
Contact. As I was stating. So going into these questions, we came up with these questions just thinking back, being that we all are at a certain age, for a long time ago since high school. And we wanted to know, what would your 18-year-old self say to you now? Would your 18-year-old self be proud of you? Would he hate you or her hate you? What would you say? So I'm going to start off with Lake.
Okay, it's the question, what she would say to me or what I would say to her?
Well, let's go with what she would say to you.
She would probably first and foremost tell me that she didn't think we would be this big. That this 80 pounds that I put on from then till now, she would be in fucking awe. For real. I think
it looked good, by the way.
Thank you, baby. I know. And we would agree that our tits look amazing. Like, after 22 years, the titties are still popped up. I still got the piercing. So I think she would be very proud of me about that.
She made sure she wore her
tattoo
bra
on that breast. Look a little droopy.
I don't have a tattoo on my breast. But if you would like to see where my tattoos are, you know, open your mouth.
Her OnlyFans page is 14. Her subscription to her OnlyFans is $14.95.
That's too high.
I'm just saying, so 18-year-old me would probably ask me why I didn't give her more confidence during that time. The same confidence that I have now, she probably would have wanted to tap in a little bit into what I got going on right now. So,
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
So, where did your confidence come from, though? Like, so if you struggle with confidence as a young adult, right? Where did it come from? Because you have amazing confidence now. Amazing.
It started off with a pretend. You know, like, I felt like I had to pretend to be in because, like, I went to Benedictine. It was a private Catholic school. And, like, all the motherfuckers there, they had the Coogee sweaters and they had cars and this, that, and the other. And I had to pretend to be down. So, like, I wore suits and a briefcase. You know what I mean? Yeah. And even though I felt uncomfortable, people would like that swag, you know? So when I got to college at 17, and, like, I didn't even know I had panty lines and shit. And I started hanging out with other girls from the D, and, you know, they helped me buy thongs, and they helped me braid my hair, and it still took a minute to figure out that I had confidence. And then I think I just kind of had to tell myself, or the realization that who really gives a fuck about other people? Like, I really don't give a fuck about what other people think at this point. And that happened at a certain age. You know, yeah. I think after people stop being there for you and you realize you only got you to worry about, you start to say fuck they feelings and do you.
Amen. You got to work with yourself. So now to your original statement of what you were saying, what would you say to your younger self?
I would tell her how beautiful she is and she doesn't have to use her pussy to feel loved. That she got way more potential than she could ever see in her future, and she needs to use that. Get the fuck out of Mount Pleasant, because I went to Central Michigan University, and I ain't ashamed of that. I love that. Fire up chips. We got the highest graduation rate in the state of Michigan, but outside of that, I would have told her to go explore. Motherfuckers,
go green.
Whatever, go white. Look, excuse me. This is my statement. I would tell her to go see another country.
This is my motherfucking show.
Can't fuck stand your producers.
Fuck your feelings.
I already been smacked once. I'm sorry, sir. My apologies.
I would
tell her that pay attention to big niggas who you work for. The end. Okay.
Don't make niggas walk to Brooklyn for cheesecake.
That's how I'm feeling right now. I gotta walk for something.
Just think of me. Hey, we're gonna make an amendment. I'm sorry, like, I'm gonna cut you off. We're gonna make an amendment. I am not the coordinator that's on this show. That's an asshole, by the way. We're gonna put that in here. That is a fucking amendment for this show. Go ahead, please.
At the end of the day, I think when you're 18 years old, you don't know how fast life goes and what your potential is, and that the world is yours. Do something with that shit. Go out there and make mistakes. True. Don't even worry about the fucking future. And use protection. Because, like, the itchy scratchies is not cool. The bumpity uppities is, like, fucked up. And then back in my day when I was 18, people died. You know what I'm saying? Even though AIDS
from the itchies and the scratchies?
No,
what
from
the bumpity uppities?
That's what happened. They were dying in, like... I would tell her that people don't Johnny die now STDs. In my future of AIDS, but you should be very afraid at 18.
Right.
So make that nigga strap it on.
So let me tell you.
But I don't have itchy scratchies, and I got to wait. No bubbity uppity.
Lake is going to be the new author for the upcoming Dr. Seuss book.
Bumpities,
and the itchity scratchities.
I'm putting it in my phone right now. That's how I'm explaining sex to my teenagers.
Uppity bumpities, itchity scratchies. What do? Okay, so
on the rubber, that's what you do.
Should I?
I will not fuck in a car. I will not fuck. So what? So okay. So thank you, Lake, for that. So Phil, what about you? Your 18-year-old self. What would your 18-year-old self say to you? Would
just fuck Sally Mae. That's what my 18-year-old self would say.
Well,
Sally Mae.
Not get married.
I should have used that too. I should have used my free.
Wait. Nah, we're gonna put amendment. Not the first one. Okay, not this. You know
what?
First one.
The marriage. He 18. The first one, of course.
Yeah.
Fuck Sally Mae.
Why didn't get married at 18?
Yeah, but he
I said got married
that.
After that.
We don't want nobody to catch feelings.
That's fine. Fuck Sally Mae. I should have took my 2-year ride, full year ride, and went to Grand Rapids. And play JUCO football, and then tried to fucking transfer to Michigan State and play football instead of racking up all that goddamn debt to not fucking walk on into the third try.
What the fuck is JUCO?
Junior college.
Okay.
But wait. let me back up. Phil.
Yeah.
So would you not wanted to go to Michigan State? Would you change your experience at Michigan State because that would have changed your experience?
I mean, you wouldn't be on the show
right now.
Yeah.
I'll be debt free.
That's more important than the friendship.
You fuck supreme. Y'all.
Wait.
Wow.
So.
And so that was the last time Phil, a.k.a. Maverick, would be on the show.
Let's rewind.
He's really going to have separation issues.
This is the part we're going to edit. Yeah, you can cut your mic off now. Yeah, leave the headphones.
I'll pack all this shit up. Take my ball off the playground.
Oh, you that nigga. You that. We ain't your fault because you can't make the jump shot.
I hate y'all so much.
So, okay, well, Phil, did you?
So here's the thing. I still would have met y'all because y'all still would have been at State. I just wouldn't
have graduated by the time you got there.
No, you wouldn't. You didn't graduate in 3 years.
He did graduate in 3 years.
This nigga smart too?
Oh, no, he's smart as shit. This nigga smart as shit.
It was 3 years, that's right.
3 year college boy?
That's why he's such an asshole, because he's smart. You know, smart people got bad social skills.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I'd have been there your second year. Because y'all didn't come into my second year, so I'd have been there y'all second year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But, I mean, I cherish all my memories. Freshman year was a blast. That shit just, I'm still paying for that shit right now. I'm in my late 30s. I'm still paying for freshman year.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We all there. We all there.
Can I graduate
there
to the second year of
payments? We all there,
right?
We all there.
Other than that, I think I should have came out of my shell a little bit more when I got to Michigan State. I mean, I've always been kind of an introvert, but I didn't have as many experiences as I feel like I should have. I waited until I was in my 20s to experience a lot of shit.
You know, at Mumford, I ain't even think that, dog. I thought you was, like, outgoing.
No, man. I was tennis and football, and that was it. And it was mostly tennis and being a class clown. But other than that, like, as far as, like, getting out and experiencing shit, like Lake was saying, I wasn't into doing that, yo. The only thing my focus was when I got to Michigan State was make the football team and fucking graduate. Mostly that's about it, dude. Fuck Sally Mae. I don't really have too many regrets at 18 other than that.
So would you tell your 18-year-old self to fuck more?
Who said I wasn't fucking at 18?
But fuck
nigga,
more.
I knew you.
Fuck more.
Fuck more than
yeah,
I was fucking?
Yeah.
No, man, that shit would have derailed me from
it'd been bumpity uppities at that point.
I was worried about missing workouts and all of that shit. I was like, if y'all fit in my schedule, then fuck it. But other than that, like, no.
Okay. So do you feel like you followed the path that you had set out for yourself at 18?
Yeah, but it was slightly disastrous with all of the fucking loans I took out.
Well.
Yeah,
it's true. But I
can
mean,
agree with that.
But I made all of my decisions. You know what I'm saying? I could have gone to other schools and all that other shit. I made all my other decisions, but I should have scaled back on some of the loans. Some of the loans I really didn't need to take out.
Yeah.
But you 18, you don't get the financial experience and knowledge that you have when you come out of high school.
Especially.
So I was just taking out. Everybody can't be Smitty. So I took out a bunch of fucking loans.
I have a bunch of student loans.
And
don't
I
would have
told
twisted
myself
don't
to invest that refund check.
As yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck
yes.
It.
Yes.
Could you imagine
yes.
What it took our
yes.
our refund checks with Apple and Microsoft would be billionaires.
I don't want to tell you. MasterCard went public when we was in college.
It did.
MasterCard went public. It was $1.23. I remember when it went public. We could have bought so much shit in MasterCard. We'd have been rich.
Right? Instead,
we wouldn't even be doing this show.
Guess what else we could have bought? And I didn't think that shit was going to get bigger than Nike.
Facebook?
Fucking Under Armour.
Yeah,
yes,
Under Armour did get
that,
big.
You said that.
You did say Under Armour in college.
With that shit when it
listen,
first came
listen,
out. Like, nah.
Phil said that in college.
He
like,
did say
that
in college. We need to fuck with Armour, Under
Armour.
He did say that. You know what I did with my refund check? Went and bought about 6 pairs of Nikes.
Air Force Ones.
Well, it was an Air Force One. I had some
all
top 10
ones,
Adidas.
Crisp.
I had some
old crisp. Remember when they had
two pair. Yeah, no, I did. I wouldn't cop them.
What was that thing they put in the front so you wouldn't crisp them? You wouldn't bend them in the front? They had the
socks?
No.
A steel toe?
You
just ball your toes up?
No, they had it. They still called a defense something.
They had them?
Yeah, they make
he
them.
He got one right now.
I was at Mumford in the hood. People used
this nigga about to take all shit.
People used to buy the long socks and flip them
that's
boys over to
yeah.
try to.
Try, yeah.
So I got hit to these.
Yeah.
Texas.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But we didn't buy stock in that.
Does that not hurt your foot?
No, man. It goes right because you know what? I'm old school with
hey,
you.
Hey, talking to the mic. Talking to the mic.
Are you on this show, sir? Because we would like for you to use your mic.
We don't hear you.
Put your shoes down and use your mic, please.
They nice.
Let me just leave them bitches there.
I want to show y'all how Keita owns this mic, though.
We done missed the whole damn conversation.
It's a whole guy. Ain't shit you recorded with that.
The audio line empty as fuck.
Why does table keep twerking?
My daughter does her little arts and crafts on it. You see all that paint?
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, she real crafty. So yeah. Was it on me for the topic?
No, nah, it's on. It's actually yeah. We're going to Tiffany.
Can you work in the mic and not sing like R&B off to the side?
Ooh yeah.
Is that good?
Right there. Door? You right there.
Stay off the stuff, my nigga.
See, that's why you light skinned niggas never made it in the '80s.
Man, look,
niggas, you know, burnt out.
Y'all hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what would I tell my 18-year-old self?
Yes, you know? Tiffany. What would you say?
Oh, so, yeah. Why y'all got me to talk ass shit?
I told you not to.
Oh.
I remember specifically saying,
like, I'm pretty not sure to you talk. Tiffany. But, okay, whatever.
Turn my mic off.
This edit gonna be all over the place, ain't it?
Yes. So, the question is, what would I tell my
18-year-old? What your 18-year-old self would tell you to, if you can speak to your 18-year-old self?
My 18-year-old self would tell me to, like, believe in yourself more, travel more, and keep your foot on these niggas' necks. Like, don't
back. Too soon.
You see how everybody scooted away from
you? Yeah, it was like, hey, okay, Tiffany, thank you for being part of the Fuck Your Feelings podcast. You can leave your mic there as well. We are two people down, folks. We're hosting. If you are interested in being on the Fuck Your Feelings podcast, okay. No, I'm sorry, Tiffany, go ahead.
Cancel culture.
It ain't even on the mic, though. It ain't even on the mic.
Cancel culture.
You ladies, Tiffany, everybody not named Tiffany, shut the fuck up.
Okay, so I would tell myself to travel more. I have traveled. I did study abroad. I've been a few places, but every opportunity, I used to be heavy in the gym shoes. Stop spending your money on frivolous things and spend that money on experiences. Like you were saying, Church. Like Maverick was saying, student loans. At a certain point, like I went back to school because I couldn't find a job. I got my master's and I was just truly just living off student loan money. Like just taking free money.
Been there.
Just for the sake of taking it. Don't do it. I would have rather just pushed through, lived off of what I could have made, you know, from a regular job and lived my life like that. I think that my 18-year-old self, though, would be proud of who I am now because we've accomplished the goals that, you know, I set forth at 18. I have the job that I said I wanted to have.
Really?
I for sure ain't doing bad. I could obviously be doing better. But, right. You know, that comes with age and that comes with time. I personally think my 18-year-old self would be proud of who my current age self is now.
So you trying to call the rest of us broken?
I mean, if the shoe fit.
I thought she was calling me broken because all y'all seem like y'all got y'all shit together besides this yellow nigga over here. No. I'm just saying.
He's still spending his money on gym shoes.
Okay.
Oh, no, I mean, not gym shoe game.
These were on sale.
Oh, these were on sale.
That's how you know you're getting old. These are on sale.
Are on sale.
Hey, I don't mind.
Two for $29. One for $29, two for $50.
$2.50. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can go in my closet and it's like half. I got more than her. I got shoes stacked up, but everything is like, I get a deal on it.
So,
I'm cheap as hell.
It is safe to say that you would not do anything differently if you could start over at 18.
Oh yeah, no, there are things that I would do differently.
You'll fuck more.
Oh, I mean, if I had the chance to be a virgin again, I'd be fucking by the time I'm 10. Trina taught us that.
Wow. Okay.
Jesus. I'm with that.
So, I wouldn't go to school in Michigan.
They all got daughters, so you fucked them up. You fucked them up.
TN ain't so far away for your kids.
No, that's only
just the 12.
My daughter is
12 in July, so.
Right. I mean, no
other age children.
They fucking.
My daughter grounded as soon as this podcast opens.
They fucking.
You suspended to, I don't know when.
They fucking.
We don't want to hear that shit. Hey, they don't be. Oh, man, come on. They fucking.
But I want to take a brief side. What's wrong? I wouldn't expect a 10-year-old to be out here fucking, but you know your daughter's going to do it.
Yes. No, I don't know that. No, Maverick don't know that.
You don't think your daughter's going to be out here busting it open for
You don't have to say it like that, though. You don't have to say bust it open, okay? I realize at 15 and 16 she may do something. I just want to instill in her the serious Kenan, like what type of man she should.
Talking to the mic.
Okay. I want to instill in my daughter what kind of man to be with. You know what I'm saying? So if you going to fuck with some of these niggas, you know, when you 15 or 16, don't just give your shit to some.
But was you that guy? Yep. Were you that guy that you're telling her that she needs to be with?
As his attorney, I'm to answer that question.
I'm going
to
tell you this.
On the grounds of incriminate him.
I was always a nice guy. I just fucked a whole lot of females.
So it sounds like no.
So wait. But now at this age. I realize where I went wrong at, so I hope that God has mercy on me. I've prayed about this real shit because it's a worry. Like, hey, you see where I'm at now? Just let her escape the bullshit. So I hope she don't get a nigga like me. But if she do, I'm gonna let her know. Don't fuck with this nigga. This what this nigga trying to do?
He
on
some bullshit. Like,
oh, I teach her the game. Oh, I'm real raw with her. You know, age appropriate. You know what I'm saying? I let her know.
How old are your daughters?
She's going to be 12 on the 31st, and then the little one, she's 4, but I have no worries there right now. So, but she's 4 on the 24th.
Well, so, and thank you, Tiffany, for your opinion. Well, since you're speaking, Kenan, what about you? Like, what would you say to your 18-year-old, or vice versa? What would you think your 18-year-old self would say to you, and what would you say to your 18-year-old self?
I would tell my
18-year-old self. I know it wouldn't be fuck more. Because,
nah.
Background music. No,
you know what? I would tell him, stop focusing on females. Hey, that was my A. Anthem.
That was the truth.
Stop. Don't even worry about that. You know, put your mind on school. Have more confidence. You know what I'm saying? And just focus. I would have went to state. I was trying to stay back, to stay with my grandma. And then, you know, you see everybody else in this city. My niggas got Cardis. They doing this, going to the River Rock. They not in school. They jobs like $10, $12 an hour, which is good when you ride out of high school. You know, old schools and all that. I'm trying to do school and that. Didn't finish. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, worry about the wrong shit. My mama was like, hey, you need to go away so you don't have no, you know, distractions. But, you know, out here fucking. My 18-year-old self, he'd be like, man, you straight. It was areas where you could have did better, but you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of motherfuckers that's doing a lot worse. You know, you managed to do something, so, you know, keep going hard.
All right, Smitty, take us home. What would your 18-year-old self say to you?
Fuck more.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, probably.
Fuck more.
Your 18-year-old self would tell you to fuck more now? You ain't fucking?
Both.
Oh, damn. Right here. That's in a two-way street.
I mean, is this before fuck COVID?
Fuck more. No, you know, I think so my 18-year-old self would say to me would be mostly what everybody else said, right? Like, watch your student loan intake. You know, definitely watch your student loan intake, but up your sex intake. Like, I didn't fuck a lot when I was younger, you know, like as an adult, like I definitely have more sex as an adult, right? Because
tell the truth.
What?
Because you was working 40 hours and taking 16 fucking credits.
Yeah. Nah, he took 18 that last year or some stupid shit. No, it wasn't 20. Wasn't it 20?
I think it was 20. But I'm not even talking about it. I'm just saying, like, when I was in as an adult, like, yeah, I have, you know, I have relations and stuff like that, but it's definitely, I definitely.
Relations? Hey, nigga, how old are you? Back in my day.
You quit a girl and had a relationship.
Did you kill a lamb to use it for the condom?
But I just think it, you know, my 18-year-old self would just tell me, like, you know, looking at me now, he'd be like, I'm proud of you, what you've done, right? Because I didn't think you were going to be there, but it's not where you wanted to be, though. You know, like, when I was 18, I wanted to be president of the United States. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. Like, I wanted to be the first black president. Like, that was my thing. I wanted to do that. Like, I kept all my high school records so I can go to my presidential library. I keep all that crap, right? Because I was like, it's going to be in my presidential library, archived, everything, right? I'm super nerd. And just
so what changed?
Fuck you. But I think he'd be proud of where I am, you know, just because some things that I've done and changed in my career, you know, he would have been like, you should have listened to your dad. Your dad told you to go to computer school. That's when computer school was the thing, computer school. My dad told me to go to computer school, and I wound up in, I'm in enterprise technology, right? So I do technology. And my dad would have told me, and you know, I told you to go. I just wasn't listening because I wanted to be president of the United States. I was going to go to law school. I was 10, walking around with it. Like, Lake was in high school carrying a briefcase and dressing suits. I was 10, dressing in suits and briefcases, right? Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be, like, I knew I was going to, I had my path. I went to school, political science, pre-law. I was going to law school. I was doing these things, and that just kind of changed. Just kind of changed when reality kind of set in, where I didn't see the world as ready for a black president, right? Like, I didn't think Barack Obama was going to make it, right?
All right.
And you know, I think some of that comes from my mom, right? My mom kind of told me that. She was like, it'd never be a black president in my lifetime. And I was like, well, I'm going to be it. You ain't going to tell me. But then I just kind of started to set into reality that may not happen, because you know, I was 18 and I had to be 35. I had a long way to go. I thought I had to live, like I had to work, you know. And I just kind of fell into the career that I fell into now, but it just, things change, you know. What my 36 year old self would say to my 18 year old self is fuck more.
And don't work so fucking much and take all those credit hours. Yeah. I mean, who does
that? I think I would have partied a little. I think I would have told him to party more and loosen up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you missed out. Like, I'm still that nerd and that diligent 18-year-old that still likes to research and still reads and do all this stuff. I don't know if y'all know, but, like, I'm a super nerd, right? So when I read books, I annotate all the books, right? So that annotation, I don't know if y'all know what that is, but is when you
don't try to shit on us.
Just because I'm from the east side don't mean the users. I don't know what annotate
means. Users.
You mean the listeners?
They are
the
not users.
They are. See, that's this nigga. It's enterprise technology for me. But so I summarize the paragraphs, and even in fiction and nonfiction,
he still define that shit.
I know. I had to. I still annotate them. Like, I can't read a book without a pen or a pencil in my hand, because I have to summarize and take notes on it, and I always I can refer back to it. I've got a really good system. I can teach y'all that later in life.
But, so we know why he's not fucking now.
Too much time.
Let me go on her Facebook page. Let me annotate her.
This nigga forearm, he is strong as motherfucker right now.
A dancing bear, I'm telling you. I can get you in.
So Smitty's OnlyFans page would be $14.95 as well.
But just watch back to my my 18-year-old self.
His only
36-year-old self was saying my 18-year-old self. Party more, loosen up more. Don't work this hard. Go ahead and go on a 5-year plan with school, because when you get out, you're gonna wind up on the kind of the same kind of path, right? Because I did it in 3 years didn't give me no bigger advantage over somebody who did it in 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I mean, I did it in 4, so I don't know.
It seems like an advantage.
Yeah,
I did it in 5, and I got the largest debt down here.
No, well, you may.
He probably got the largest debt down here.
But he got the good job, though.
I could have got it without the degree, though.
Yeah.
Oh,
you could've.
That's fucked up. You should have told your 18-year-old self.
Right. That's my lady too. She got a master's. Her debt crazy.
Mine's is true.
I got a master's. Me too. And my debt is
one. Yeah.
Your lady ain't the only one. Oh,
talking about debt down here. She so got, I ain't got nothing. High school diploma.
So listen.
Fuck it.
So my 18-year-old self, we probably would be like, yeah, what the fuck you doing? Like, this is not what we started off to be. It's not what we planned to be. Definitely would be like, hey man, you were supposed to be out here doing differently. Probably would be very proud of the dad I am versus what I had
Not to shit on my dad, anybody out there that hear this. But he just wasn't around as what I liked him to be. So I try to do that. So he'd probably be happy with that. But he just been like, yeah, you should have traveled more and had more experience, came out your shell more. Even though I was like a crazy ass, you know, at college.
You heard him. He said asshole. You know, he's about to say asshole.
I was about to say asshole. I was a crazy asshole. I mean, I used to try to get people to go cow tipping because they was drunk and I didn't drink and I wanted to see somebody get kicked by the cow. That was my only reason. Pretty much. So when cow tipping was the highlight and drinking Everclear, pure Michigan. It's such a pure Michigan commercial. Superman ice cream. With Everclear floats, jungle juice, sliding down the dunes and breaking your neck. Here, Michigan.
Or kicking that cup out the window.
Oh, kicking the cup out the window. Calling the police on somebody to pour water on your clothes.
That person was not drunk, though.
No, somebody was drunk in that situation. Yeah, shout out to Smitty for that.
Superman float with Everclear. That shit sound nasty.
That shit sounds fucking
cool. That shit
sound
like you early, dog.
But yeah. Yeah,
I kind of want to try it just to see what that shit tastes like.
Nigga, you a fool. You 36. Nigga, I'm not visiting you in the hospital.
He drives crackers.
So yeah, my 18-year-old self would definitely, you know, kind of read me the riot act and tell me, you know, where it wasn't at the plan we wanted to be. You know, happy with the successes that I did have, but like definitely had a different plan and goal in mind. And then I kind of echo the sentiments. Is what I would say back is I would tell my 18-year-old self to fuck more. I did all right, but I could have did better, you know. But I was an asshole too, and I was really vain. So
that's the second asshole comment. Remember, he said amendment earlier.
Okay, I'm going to put this out here. All Detroit males are assholes.
I can agree.
Is that a stereotype?
No, that's factual.
Is that a stereotype?
Name one Detroit male that's not an asshole.
Do stereotypes on this show.
I'm an asshole.
I'm definitely an asshole.
I am as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, owning it.
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, we're all assholes.
I love being an
asshole. Here's why we're all friends, too, though.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah, I would tell myself, 18-year-old self, to definitely stay away from the goddamn college that nigga. If you had to go to community college, right, motherfucker, WC3, you know, do that shit, cause woof, fucking debt. Although they got, I'm out here leering. You got to catch me if you can. Shit, fuck it. You know, YOLO. But yeah, I think overall, like I would be, you know, more advice and like I said, coming out of your shell, being more confident. Know, you know, recognize the star that you are. Use your gregariousness to your full advantage. Yeah, and just go with the flow. So. Thank you all for your comments. I'm going to move on to the next topic because we've been on this one for like
Can
ever.
I just ask a quick question if that's at all possible?
Go ahead.
A few people down here said they would be fucking more. That's what they would tell their 18-year-old self. Like, why? Like, was it just not enough? Did you feel you didn't get enough? Like, what? I don't get it.
I would say that because of the experiences, just having more of experiences that would, you know, better guide you in certain decisions and choices and paths you made. Or for me,
so
I was.
What do you
me.
Think that you would get out of it?
I Release.
Think, well, I think. Okay, I'm just gonna. We had this conversation when it was cheat code for your dick, but there was a lot of masturbation at 18, right? Like you kind of shy, you kind of, you know, you coming out of your, like, you coming to your adulthood. So like, you don't know how to really talk to girls. Like, it just, it's kind of, but like, knowing what I know now, like, girls is as horny as we are. Like, it's just like,
bruh,
you could just fuck. Like, it's just like, I would take advantage. Like, it's, there is no rhyme or reason why at 18 you shouldn't be fucking. Like nobody at 18 should not be.
So I really can't relate to that because I was fucking hard at 18, man. No. So it
was
like,
it could have been, I could have took it down. It really wasn't that deep.
But you didn't say that though. You didn't say you would fuck more because you had that experience. Yeah. Right? That's what I want to be. Like,
yes.
So Keenan came, like, if you know Keenan, he's a really good man, really good father, caring husband, all that stuff, right? Because he had that experience,
right,
up front, right? Right? Where, like, I'm be honest, like, I'm still looking around, like, well, I can't because I'm single, but like, if I was married, I don't think I would be, like, I don't think I would say I would cheat on my wife, but it would probably be a forethought in my head all the time. Because
you think maybe you should take the wedding ring off your finger so you can fuck more? Or are you trying to use that so you can fuck
more?
No,
it just fits on his finger.
Okay.
It's in my fingers.
It was too tight.
Now, I think it's funny because from a female's perspective, I would tell me to fuck less. Because 18-year-old boys at the time were cruel. And, like, if you went to a college that I went to where there was only 496 African-American people and your preference are black men, you know, your name got tossed out there a lot. Luckily, I got a great personality and a smile.
Wider net.
I mean, I don't know if I would have fucked as much as I did because it got me in trouble. My neck is wide.
Wider net.
I don't know what the fuck that means. Would y'all stop talking sports term to me? Is wider that neck. The next segment?
No.
Wow.
Wider neck throat pie.
wider net. N-E-T.
Oh, I think so.
N-E-T. Cast a wider net.
No, didn't go to college.
Oh.
Okay.
So I guess what I say by saying fuck more is not so much as actual, I guess, let me rephrase. I guess I shouldn't say fuck more, but just be more of a personality. Be more outgoing. Be more speaking more.
Those two things are
synonymous. Yeah. No, it's not. Y'all say fuck more.
But see, those skills, you use.
I disagree with that. I'm going to say fuck more. Like, I wanted to be Keenan. Like, Keenan has great young experiences, right?
What Keenan has that we didn't get until later in life? A mouthpiece.
Yeah,
I didn't learn that shit till college was
dead. Honestly, I'm gonna tell you this.
No. My boy, my first year playing semi-pro football, my teammate was like, "Conversation rules the nation," and I had never heard that shit, and I was embarrassed because I'm like, "Yo, I'm in my early 20s, and I've never heard it." He was like, "Conversation rules the nation. It don't matter how much money you got. It don't matter how you look. It don't matter what your gear is like. If you can talk, you can fuck." Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you this, and he can attest.
Was he
Courtney?
That is brushy.
Yes, we're not recording a video. Yes, Courtney can attest. All right, like when we used to talk to females, it was all off the internet. Right, so we would go in a chat room, and you made a lot of them. A lot of chicks we fucked with was off the internet. You know what I'm saying? But like that's how I practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I stuttered when I was younger, so I'm like, nigga, I can type. I can be more I stuttered when I was younger, so online, you know, I could be more confident in what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So, nigga, not make me.
Side note, I mean, could you imagine nigga stuttering while typing?
But you know what I'm saying? That gave me
asleep on a keyboard.
That would give me the confidence I needed because I done talked her up online. Then I done got her on the phone, and then when I see you in person, it's like
the sunshine there. Let the sunshine in.
It'll time out on the show.
M-U-C-K.
Okay, so we definitely got to move on. But okay, so maybe I should. Well, no, I would have had more. I would have fucked more. Yeah, I would have had more sexual experiences. I would have engaged more. But to me,
me too. It would have.
Well, see, we used to exercise. Like, we was in the IM hooping and exercising all the time. So
fuck that. You should have told your 18-year-old self to finish that fucking football tryout.
Yeah, well, I didn't really. It wasn't in my heart of hearts to do. That's why I should have did that. I should have, because I walked on and they really wanted me to play, but I it wasn't something that.
This nigga came to my fucking tryout at Michigan State, and they walked by me and was like, "You play O-lineman? The fuck? He here for moral support? He ain't here to play?"
Yeah. they're like, "You ever played before?" No, I ain't never played before. Oh shit.
On the spot.
Like, I never seen somebody like, his eyes got big. I was like, yeah, I mean, fuck it. I mean, to me, that was going to help me fuck more because I was going to get more bitch because I played football, but, you know, it didn't quite work out that way. So, all right, for real, we're moving on to the next topic. So, next topic is,
why are white people so scared of black people?
Why are white people so scared of black people? And so, Smitty, since you're the whitest person, no, okay, I'm sorry.
It's absolutely fine.
Smitty, let me correct that because I hate when people do that. Smitty is not a white person. That's bullshit. We shouldn't even say people talk white. That's fucked up because you are articulate. We shouldn't go there. But
I always get the honorary white man in a group.
No, I mean,
that's okay.
In this group, I'm pretty sure you probably like second. Well, I can get. I,
we do.
You know.
We do have. We do have a light bright with us, though. He can. He can play the part.
Damn, you just call him Errol Flynn.
About me. It's okay. It's okay. And somebody did the Errol Flynn. We hey, somebody showing their age.
Your mama.
My mama talks about this shit. Okay. Exactly. About
so now I'm as old as your mama? Like, for real, dog?
She's
for real?
About it. She's about it.
You know what? So, I will bury your fucking drawers, I'm telling you.
Okay, so let me tell you what's happening. So furniture is starting to move. Lake has now put Vaseline on her face. A razor blade. Oh, my God. Ken is bleeding. He is on the ground bleeding. No, okay. I'm just fucking around. But so, okay, the question is, why, and I know there's no white people in this room, but why are white people so scared of black people?
So I do want to put a disclaimer out there that we don't have any white people in the room. And
we do
is,
not.
This is very much opinionated on our perceptions as African-American folks on how we perceive white America and how they react to black Americans.
So, Smitty, why do you think we perceive it this way? Or do you feel that white people are truly scared of black people?
I absolutely do. Like, just, you know, I think it's not necessarily a... I think it's twofold. One, I think it's been portrayed in the media that we're scary, right? It's portrayed in the media that we're scary. So, like, if you don't have a lot of interactions with black Americans, you only can get your perception on how the media perceives them. And so, and then most times our interaction with white folks, we are irate, right? It's like they cut us off in the road. They say some off-the-wall stuff to us. And then we react. And then all they see is, that's sometimes that first interaction with that black person. And right. Then it's also a different perception, right? You can work with, like, you can even departmentalize black people, right? Like, I work with black people, right? Those black people are good because I understand them, I know them, right? And then everybody else is the trouble, right? So when they first get an interaction and they're scared around black people, it's not the people they work with because they work with them, right? That's their inner. That's they like. Oh, we're all single file line at work, right? But then when they get into the world and they think they can say that shit in meetings and stuff like that to black people meetings and talk down and yell at black people in meetings, and then they get in the real world and they say some off the wall shit and that black person comes back at them. Oh my God, like they're scared. It's just a perception. I'm not saying they're scared of us, but the perception on things that I've seen have been perceived that way, and the fact is that they're even if you take a statement from Family Guy, he says Santa Claus can't be black because we do not fear him. That coming from a white writer, right? That's just right. kind of evidence that there is some type of fear around black people because, you know, they're going to be irate, or they're going to go out on a limb, or they're going to be mad. You know what I'm saying? They're always mad, right? And I just think it's a really I think it's either two things. One, it's not necessarily they're scared. They're more suspicious. Right. It may not be scared, but they're definitely suspicious. And when you're suspicious, that you're automatically your sense of heightened scared tactic is already there just because you're suspicious.
That fight or flight.
You know, that fight or flight response. You know what I'm saying? Like if you know there's a tiger in the area, you are already suspicious. It could be anything moving in that bush. It could be a little cat. You're like, oh, that's a tiger. You run. Right. Because that's what it is. And that's kind of that same thought process where, like, I'm suspicious of these of black people because I don't really understand them. So I'm already heightened around it. And that's why there's a fear, I think. Not necessarily that they're scared of us, but I definitely think there's a suspicion that we're something that we're not.
So, Tiffany,
I just have a few questions here. I'm confused. Like, you're speaking as if black people and white people are separate. That's how I'm gathering it, right?
I don't think they're.
Because just because you may have had an interaction with a black person out in the world and they became irate, which I have total issue with the whole concept of just because someone became irate means that's what that person, that's how you base your opinion on them. But
your whole group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just don't.
I don't
feed into that, but I just don't understand. Just because you have a bad interaction with someone doesn't give you the right to then say all of these people are one way.
I agree with that. We're not judged. You can't judge a single person's action on that whole group. You can't make that whole group responsible for that single person's actions.
So
I agree with that.
Just because you had an interaction with this one person, doesn't mean that like the black people that you see in the store and Kroger and Foot Locker, wherever you are going to be like that, right?
I agree.
But then you make the argument that that white people aren't able to differentiate.
No, I say they departmentalize. Like they have a group. They like, I work with these kind of black people. They're okay, right? And then everybody else that I don't really interact with is the people I'm talking about, right? They do that. Like when we have conversations, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I work with a ton of black people at work, you know what I'm saying? Not all black people are bad. Well, that's the same thing. You can say not all white people are bad, right? But it's not all black people are bad. I work with black people, right? That's what, like, they departmentalize and they try to separate it so they can, when they go to work, they have a good face on, right? They can say, oh, you know, I can work with him. He's at his office. I know he doesn't have a gun because he's in the office. We're here. But when we leave and they see another black person, they have a heightened fear, like, because they don't know that person. Not because it's just because they're black, like.
But they don't know the white person either. So why would they trust? Why do they trust that person?
I don't, because they're white. Like, I mean, they're just perception. They, like, white people trust white people. Like, I mean, that's just a perception that they have, right? Like when you, like, oh Charlie and Bob, they're okay. Like, they don't have any problems. But as soon as I step on the elevator, the woman grabbing her purse. Mm-hmm. Like, the woman grabs her purse on the elevator. Bob, me and Bob stepped on the elevator together. Why did you grab your purse when you seen me? Bob, you seen Bob first. You didn't grab your purse. You seen me. You grabbed your purse.
Because I think that, like, black people are portrayed in a certain light in media. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
White people are in Tiffany's opinion, white people tend to be raised to fear black people based on their like family experiences or what have you. And I think the media plays a huge role in that.
I agree.
So like when I went to college, one of my first roommates had never been around black people. She came mm-hmm. from way up in Michigan, never had any interaction. All she ever had, her whole life, she only knew one Japanese girl. That was the only darker person that she ever knew, right? All she ever got, her experiences with black people were like a BET, what she saw on TV. Mm-hmm. And I think that plays a huge role. Mm-hmm. So you see black people, like even on a Law and Order, they're always the criminals. Mm-hmm. You know, they're never like the good person. They're never the savior. They're always these type of people. We're portrayed in a way which gives people who don't have interactions with black people.
I just want to let you know, Tiffany think I'm the white person in the room. So
she did get amped. Like, I will cut your... Nah, she did get amped. Like, I know this nigga ain't defending white people. What is
I had a thought, like, wait, I'm not defending it.
I said the exact same thing about the media at the beginning.
No, when you said the how white people can, you know, black people get irate and then white people, like, get scared. But, like, okay,
I was using that as an example.
For me, that's true. I'm always irate.
Yeah.
I listened to someone say, like, black people are peaceful people, but what y'all judge ourselves on are our reactions to some fuck shit that y'all done.
Right.
And so when we react, I mean, if you sitting here calling me a nigger or calling me out my name, or you spit at me with the hard ER, or you spitting at me, or you saying that I'm not worth anything, or I'm 3/4 of a human, or 3/5 rather. You know, when I respond, you should just cause and effect. You may not expect it, me to fucking punch you in your nose, but goddamn it, you should have expected something to happen. So, you know, if my reaction was irate, then, I mean, that's what it was. But that's not indicative of who I am as a person all the time. You just caused a reaction that involved me to show that emotion.
I think it's this, right? Like, I think Tiffany said this in one of the podcast previews. I think in America's Burning, when she was...
Burn it the fuck down.
No, I think she said that she's sick of, you know, you being... me being uncomfortable, making you comfortable. I'm not doing that anymore, right? Like, and I don't think that... I think that's where we get our width in. We take a lot of stuff. Like, I'm going to speak for myself. I can take a lot of stuff at work, you know what I'm saying? You take those sly jokes, I'll tell you something that just happened to me recently. I was on a call. Now, mind you, all this stuff is going on. I'm on a call, and this lady talking to another white woman on a call, and it's a whole bunch of it's a diverse call. And the lady says, "She said, yeah, they're gonna try to start lynch you down there at City Line." And I'm like, "You real at this stage in the game, you gonna really say that? Like, they're gonna lynch you down at City Line? Not me, but the white lady at the she was talking to." And we IMs are flying across. Like, did you hear what she said? I'm like, yeah, I'm about to call her out on it too. And I told the lady, I said, you know, that's racially insensitive. And during this time, that you probably should use a better choice of words. And you know, everybody on the call, you know, the call now is uncomfortable, right? And I'm like, it went back to that statement that was on the podcast. I don't know if Tiffany said it, somebody said it, but that I'm not going to be comfortable anymore. My comfortable is going to make you uncomfortable because I'm going to be comfortable, mm-hmm. and I'm going to call right. you out.
And you just start speaking your truth.
Right. And so. I think that's going to make, if white people are scared of black people, that's going to make you more scared because I'm not going to be getting along for you to get along. Yeah, right. Exactly.
You got to check people right where they try you.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm not saying you have to be irate or you have to get.
If I'm mad, I'm mad.
Right. I understand that. And I'm not saying temper yourself for someone else. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think it's a teachable moment, right? Because mm-hmm. some people are just that ignorant. Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is true.
So maybe she didn't really. The lady on your call didn't really realize that, like, oh, okay, lynching is probably a bad thing for black people in that moment, mm-hmm. right? So that could be a teachable moment for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So
I know whenever I've spoken up, I'm always looked at or portrayed as the angry black guy. Mm-hmm. I've had the police called on me, so I have to approach everything like and be like real calm, like, look, you know, because I really don't want the police involved. You know what I'm saying? But
the unfortunate you know. Part about that is I think a lot of black people know that role. They know that, like, especially black men, when you are in an environment where someone has wronged you and you try to speak up for yourself, that you have to temper yourself or you have to respond in a mm-hmm. certain way to keep the peace.
No, I mean, I definitely understand that. I'm a big-ass black dude, so I'm always trying to, which is fucked up to say, make myself smaller in certain situations. So,
how do you do that?
I don't know. I've been working on this shit.
Hold his breath in.
But like personality wise, like try to not be so, cause like if I start talking a certain way and my voice is, you get a little deeper and it's like, oh shit. Or if you see the anger look on my face, you know, I've gotten upset before in conference rooms and they'd be like, oh shit, wait. You didn't let a bull in the china shop, right? Like, why did you make him mad? So, you know, I just try to make sure that, you know, I try to articulate no matter how angry I get so that it won't go to the point of, you know, police being called on me or, you know, I have to have an interaction with law enforcement or it have to be, well, you know, I know that was said, but, you know, you could have handled that a better way. And it's like, well, fuck you. They could have did that a better way. They didn't have to say the shit that they said to me that made me blow up.
But I've seen white folk blow up. And
nothing.
You know what I'm saying? So
we blow up. We get a video, HR, pink slip. You know.
You always gotta have your head on the swivel,
right?
You get a real good talking to.
So, Phil, what about you, sir? What do you even feel that white people are scared of black people?
Yes.
And why so?
Well, for me, I'm 6'3". Most of them are under 6 feet tall, so I'm intimidating anyway,
right?
You know, I know.
I agree with Tiffany though. It's the way we're portrayed.
Yeah.
So you grow up in a rural community, farm town. You have no interaction with black people whatsoever. The only time you see black people is where the news,
yeah,
movies, hip hop.
Yeah.
Right. Everything that you see that's glorified is what? Violence. As fuck. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that hip-hop as a whole is bad, because I rock with hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? That's all I produce for the most part. But if that's all you're exposed to, when you go out into the world and you go to college and you go into the workplace, you automatically expect, oh, my God, these black people are going to be just like what I saw growing up.
True.
I was watching this documentary on black people living in Japan. And one of the guys was explaining that Like, a lot of people seem to think that Japanese people are like blatantly racist, but he said when he got to talking to them, that's the answer that he got. He was like, well, you know, that's all we see coming overseas is that you guys are like killers and you steal things, and we don't have any other experience of you over here because there's not that many black people in Japan. But after meeting you, you know, it turns out that you guys are, you know, you're pretty cool or whatever. So I think it's a combination of that, what Tiffany said, and the fact that you have some people that just they just have hate in their heart. So you raising a kid to watch that, to see that it's bad, it's not that hard for you to, you know, instill in them that, you know, hey, all black people are bad. You see what they're doing on TV, right? And you can kind of slant what they see. So that's my opinion on it.
Okay. Thank you for that. And Lake, what's your thoughts?
Now, I was thinking about what Smitty was saying as far as, like, the people at work being the good black folks. And for me, it's almost the opposite, because I tend to get more scared looks at work. Maybe
angry
because,
black woman.
I'm definitely the angry black woman.
I get scared about that too.
Well, maybe you stop burying draws.
I mean, you know what? I have yet to do that to a coworker. Think about it all the time, but I have not done it yet. But if they keep fucking with me, it may happen. The issue I have is that I've always been very good at every job that I've been given. But
cocky are we?
And very much so. Because I work hard. But I
speak
have,
your truth.
I have often been the only black managers in certain situations. So when I go to speak, like in my current situation, my boss have to translate for me. Like, I didn't say what I said, you know, and it becomes very uncomfortable for me. So therefore, I have to turn the tables and make it uncomfortable for her, because mm-hmm. I noticed she was doing it. I may talk different. That was how I was raised. That's the culture I'm in. But I'm still selling. I'm still articulating. I know the product. I know what we're doing. So I don't need you to say, well, what Lake is saying. No, Lake said that this is some bullshit. And I'm not going to sit here and constantly deal with it in this situation, because we could be doing it a different way. You don't have to dumb that down when I sit in a room full of white men all the time, and they call each other dicks and use the word bullshit, and they turn red and stuff. But as soon as I elevate my voice,
you SOB Bob,
right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. Oh, son of a bitch, right? Oh God, I'm blonde in my hair right now, so maybe it tapped into my brain waves. But it always seems like they don't know what they're going to get.
Right.
Like, what is Lake going to say today? And I don't like operating that way. Now, on the other hand, I think being a black woman, I love my white friends. You know what I mean? When we hang out, especially, you know, with those of them that are older, they were kind of brought up where they're blending genders and races and everything. So when we are together, we're all just like having fun. And I'm like, maybe that's different because I'm a woman. And when I step on the scene, when I'm places like, if I go to the gay club, all the gay white men want to hang with me and dance with me. Or good if I'm Judy. In a straight white club, it's the same way. There's no intimidation, but I'm not 6'1", big black dude coming in there looking like, you know, Suge Knight, or that I'm about to tear the fucking club up. So, yeah, I'm looking at you.
Is that a reference?
No, I mean, listen, I've definitely been there where I walk into a room and it's just like, first of them, you know, most of them are half amused that you know a human being, or I finally get to see a human being as big as I am. And the other half is like,
you a big fucker, aren't you?
Pretty. That's what the cop said to me one time when I got pulled over and harassed. The motherfucker said that shit to me. And he pulled me out of my car, and I'm just like, you are intimidated by me because you're 5'7". And if I truly chose to, I probably could have squashed you with one hit.
Donkey Kong him.
Yep. And I could have, right? I could have Donkey Konged him and squashed him with one hit. So you were intimidated by my stature. But, you know, I have been there. I definitely have here. But what I do now is I embrace my pettiness. So when white people walk by my car door, I hit my locks.
Me too.
Oh, I do it all the time.
Me too. I grab my wallet.
I grab my wallet and I'm like, oh, and I shiver a little bit. Me too. You startled me, Karen.
Yeah.
So I watched the episode of Blackish, right? I mean, and no one, I thought it was the funniest thing ever when the elevator opened up and the little white girl is lost on the elevator. They're like,
Not today.
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not going to set me up and just let the elevator right. close. And all the black people came running up the stairs. Oh, shit, a little white girl was on there. I know. And the white people were like, what is going on? And it's like, you don't know what that looks like. If I go in there and with this little ass white girl and help her, as soon as see white tears are a powerful weapon. Mm-hmm. And this little white girl, blonde hair, curly hair.
Did that black guy hurt you?
Yep. That's automatic.
First question. It ain't even like, what happened? Did that black guy hurt you?
Did that black guy
you
hurt
know
you?
What is crazy? Because we are pretty much a panel of nerds. You know what I mean? Like, in our own various ways. And when people see us or even listen to us talk, you know, this is what the educated, hardworking black people look and sound like, you know, but it's funny to me, like that last Karen situation, quote unquote, and dude was watching birds like Smitty and shit. You know what I mean? Chilling. Like this old Norbit looking motherfucker looking
he's
at birds.
He's not going to hurt you.
He's profession. No threat here. This is what he does. Yes. You choking the fucking dog, lady. We should be scared of you and your animal crazy abuse. Yeah. This man is doing something that he enjoys. And then I looked at him and he was up there like, oh, you know, I was just watching birds. And then she came and the fucking dog wasn't on a leash. You know, Black Lives Matter. You know, I'm like,
so
I was afraid.
So I have a thought, and we can unpack this and move on if we want. But do you think that white people are not really like, I'm not gonna say they scared us, but do you think that they really know that they did us wrong and they really are ashamed of themselves?
I feel like
not at all.
No, I feel like they want to forever suppress us because they know if we were to unite, like, we'll fucking rule. Like, real shit. And then off of all that past shit, come on. That's enough anger to put someone over the edge. You know
and
what
yet
I'm saying?
We still forgive, right?
You like, feel me?
We still are the ones that apologizing first or you know, are quick to turn the other cheek and embrace, you know, or willing to have the olive branch to say, let's welcome you in. Let's open this to have a conversation. We're really... And all honestly, we should be chopping heads off and burning this motherfucker down, right? Just because of the anger and the history of that. You know, well, fuck it, right?
I'm like, burn this shit down.
As Tiffany would say, I'm not going to be uncomfortable making you comfortable, so fuck it. I hope you said that, Tiffany, because you didn't even quote seven times.
I think she said that, though. Like, somebody said that.
Sounds like something Tiffany was
so saying. Going into the next question, which we, you know, kind of just start partnering into this topic. Do you all feel, no, and please don't tackle me or try to bury my drawers when I ask you this, but do you feel that black people play the victim? Like, are black people really being victimized, or are they just playing a victim? Are they playing the race car to get their way? So I am going to start off. I'm scared to look that way. I'm going to start off with Tiffany. Dear God.
Oh, no, that's fine. I want to be.
No, talk your shit.
I got to figure out the correct way to say this.
Just fuck your feelings, man.
Yeah, pretty
just
much.
Say it wrong.
Just say how you say it.
Yes, I think that oftentimes we can play the victim.
You treating me this way because I'm black.
Right, but I don't think that we're always wrong. I think sometimes you just may have came across a shitty person, and it has nothing to do with your color.
Right.
But that's the only thing that you can use. You can't necessarily articulate that, hey, this person doesn't like me, or this person has some other issue with me outside of my color. You automatically and immediately assume it's solely based on the color of your skin, because what else could it be? It could just be you have blonde hair, you know, or you were just the motherfucker they wanted to pick with that day. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
That's something that it's hard for people to accept. It's easy for you to say that I am this one thing and now you're picking on me because of that. But overall, I don't want to be the person to say that we play the victim.
If I can piggyback. I'm sorry.
No,
go ahead.
Your thing.
Okay. So I believe, I think the same way, you know what I'm saying? I feel like sometimes they're just pulling a race car. Oh, yeah, at some time they're playing a race car. And I feel like that gives some whites the power to say, oh, you're always pulling a race car. And it kind of, you know, downplays when it is something that's racist.
Talk your shit, sis. Keenan, you finish up.
What?
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 Yeah, finish your statement,
I'm
bro.
I'm done. I mean, I see all this.
No.
Fucking air traffic and shit.
I
would say it's a really good show right now. That's
my
question.
So, are they playing victim if they're not wrong? Because if they're not wrong, then they are the victim, right?
Exactly.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, that's a very good question.
But I think that sometimes that they are wrong, right? Mm. Sometimes that it's not the fact that you're black. Sometimes it's, I don't like you got red shoes on.
Yeah.
I hate red shoes, but I think.
But you got red shoes on, though.
But shit, I don't want nobody else to have red shoes on. Like, you messing up my vibe.
Fuck your
I
red
was
shoes.
The only person that's supposed to have on red shoes.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, it just so happened that you were black, but I really don't like you because you got, you know, glasses on, or, you know, you got a hat, or that's not the team I fuck with, so I'm gonna fuck with you because of that.
Or could it be the fact is that you could be a weak black person and I'm a bully and I just want to pick on you, right? Like, not because you're black, it's just because
you're a weak person or a weak black person.
Weak person. I shouldn't say black, but weak person. I'm just
Ooh, that white coming out.
Yeah.
You did say you didn't support black bit. No.
Don't start that shit.
So, okay.
See, when it comes to playing the victim, though, I don't think we need to broaden the topic or tighten it up. You know, because for me, I think about being paid less than my white counterparts. And when I go to talk to my boss about it, he looks at me like I'm playing the fucking victim.
But you know you're not. Though.
But I know I'm not. And then when I speak, you know, from here, from my chest, then it's like, okay, she's about to lose it. We go back to the angry black woman thing. Mm-hmm. I've seen people in the store be like, oh, okay, you're just doing this because I'm black. But a lot of times, it'd be a lot deeper than that. Right. You know, I just watched a video with a lady that took her son to the restaurant, and the gentleman was saying that her son couldn't come in. And this really bothered me because he was about 9 years old.
Yeah.
He had on a Jordan shirt the shorts and gym shoes. And as a person in the hospitality industry, my apologies, I was thinking like, damn, he got caught up in a situation where the first white family got in there and he just didn't notice that boy. Bruh. That's what I honestly believe.
Yeah.
But when that mother came in and he stopped her, he should have let it pass.
Yeah.
You know, because he was trying to make it seem as though she was playing the victim, but it felt like because she was black. Because her son was black and he had Jordan written across his shirt, and then he tried to say it was the shorts. But then you first said it was the shoes, and then you turned around. He should have. And any good hospitality, he lied. I mean, I don't think he was lying. I really think it was the policies of the restaurant. And I really believe that it wasn't a big deal when that white family came in, because that one child was just dressed in an athletic wear, but the rest of the family was kind of dressed casually.
That's a bad policy, though, because I'm not saying it's a bad policy, but in a sense of, that's when I look at a restaurant and they were sitting out on the patio. The white family was sitting on the patio, if I recall.
Yeah.
Right.
And I walk by and look at what kind of outfits people got on before I even walk into the restaurant, right?
Right.
Because I want to see what kind of restaurant it is. Because sometimes it's like a shirt and tie kind of restaurant, and you gotta make sure you do that.
Appropriate.
And I think that the mom did exactly that. She scanned. She said, oh, he got on some athletic gear. I'm going in. Right. And walked in, and then she gets stopped at the door, and now you want to throw this policy on me. Well, first off, it's not written anywhere, because he never pointed to any kind of sign. Said, hey, man, if you look at the door, it says this, right? There was no kind of written sign. So we, at that point, I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not. There's no policy. You haven't shown me any kind of information that says, hey, this is what our dress code is, right? I can read that, right? If you know, ma'am, I'm sorry, we did not see that boy come in. I wasn't here. He may have came on a different shift. But this is our policy. Here it is. If he had appointed that, I would have been on his side. Like, he showed her the policy.
No, I'm saying that he should have let it pass instead of making it seem like she was playing the victim for being African American, because that was a case right there in everybody's face. She had it on video. And because they want to sensitize people feeling a certain way about their race, he could have made that situation not about black or white and just let them sit down at that time and made sure come tomorrow that they are a little more cautious about who they let in. But that day, that little boy should have been able to sit down, and it shouldn't have made that mom feel like she was making a big deal because she was black.
Yeah.
Because it could have just been a mistake that they overlooked the first kid and then recognized because they're black. You know, not saying that it didn't have to do because they were two black people coming in, but they could have not made it about race and just let it pass, because we are going to say you're doing this because I'm black. We're going to say that shit. I say it all the time. Bridge card don't work. It's because I'm black.
So let me ask you this. So let me ask you this. Do you feel that, and because of all the atrocities and the just the abuse that we have had or have been put on upon us as black people, do you think we have the right to play the victim? Do you think we have the right to say at any given moment, this is always because I am African American or Pan African or black? Like, do you feel like because just so many things are happening that we, you know, just want to yell out for help or, you know, bring attention to what's been going on because it's been happening for so many years that we had a right to say, well, you know what? Today it was because we were black.
Every time you go out and you're integrating yourself in white society and something happens, it's because you're black. And I'm not trying to be facetious about it. I've been working in corporate America since I've been out of college. And every time something went wrong or I said the wrong thing, it came down to me being black and not being able to, quote unquote, handle the situation or be a little different. I will always go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I will always feel that way because it's been embedded in me from the time I went to Central Michigan in 96 and I got up there and it said, no rap, no crap. Now, I'm born and raised in Detroit.
Right.
We can't listen to rap because I'm black. You know what I mean? Because I don't know what other reason why y'all wouldn't play the music that I like if it was to just make the black people feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And it went on like that throughout my 5 years in college up until I graduated at 21 and come back to the D and I get my first job in corporate America. They stuck me in the cast corridor. I worked for a big tobacco company. And they put me at 22 years old in the cast corridor. I went to fucking private school. The fuck I'm down here with all the bums? Because I'm black? Because I'm the only person on the team that's African American. And they stuck me down there and put my life on the line with a fucking van full of cigarettes? You don't think these motherfuckers know about me? Put motherfucking Randy down there. That shit, that's fucked up.
That is. No, that is. No, that's deep.
It would be funny if that shit wasn't true. I was scared of the motherfucker. I gave away them cigarettes. Fam. I tell you that. They knew the Newport lady was coming.
Listen.
I'll be standing out there.
Motherfucking Randy down there.
Anybody want some free cigarettes?
Listen, I'm not.
And they stole my shit in Highland Park.
Of course they did. Of course they did. I mean, like, okay. Listen, let's be real. We've all know the cast corridor. We know what that shit is. Skid Row to the finest of Skid Row. That's fucking quality Skid Row. Well, not anymore, but like
the cast corridor anymore.
No, it's like midtown. What is it like? It's cast on the lake.
It's midtown.
It's cast on the lake.
All of those people out of there quick. It's nice down there.
It's real nice.
But I'm saying like
they won't even let me move in down
there. Yeah. So, but like at that time in '96, you know, Roscoe's was down there and all that bullshit. So, yeah, 2000, like, you know. Oh, still, I mean, that's 20 years ago, and, like, the way the shit down there. Wait, what? What did I do?
She pushed that day hella
that was
far
20
back.
Years
you
ago.
Know, back in, like, 87 when she was there.
I mean, you know, 96, 87.
The elder is speaking, everyone.
The great wisdom. You need a talking stick?
Yes, please.
Okay. But so,
No, I just said, like, that was unfair to just have that down there, like, to put you because you were the only African-American. And I think a majority of us have been put in that situation. Like, oh, mm-hmm. You go talk to your people because that's your people.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They will send you in with the quickness.
Into the fire. You don't even know what's the problem. You walk into the fire. My boy works in a hospital, and this he had an African-American patient. And the African-American patient got loud with his director, and she sent him in. Mind you, he a CNA. She the director. She sent him in there to calm the woman down. It's like, hey, can you go talk to her?
Yeah.
Did he go?
He had to. He was told to. Mm-hmm. His boss told him to go in there. He's like, can you go in there and talk, calm her down? She just not responding to any kind of information that I'm giving her.
Yeah,
and
that was code for you black. You speak black. Right, go handle your people.
Right, exactly. And I mean, this is like a couple months ago.
Wait. Well, let me ask you this: did he calm her down?
He probably did.
Based on his information, he got her together.
Here's the thing: that's what's fucked up, right? Because they send us in to do the job. We do the job, but it's like, oh, now we vindicated what their reason was for sending them in, but like, but we never praised for how great of a job we did in that situation.
Think about that.
Because you didn't do anything. You just spoke your language.
Think about 2008. Who came in and cleaned up the white shit? Right. President Obama. Right.
He give him no credit.
He got to scoop up shit, and we never get the credit for it.
Nah.
We never get the credit. We built that White House thing, and what did they do? They named it White House, right? We built that damn house.
We did.
They named it the White House.
We named the White House.
We gonna laugh in their face. We gonna call it the White House.
Okay, so who? Oh,
you shot somebody at granddaddy.
So listen, we gonna do Field and Keenan, and we gonna wrap this thing up. So, Field, what's your
Maverick?
Thoughts? Maverick. I'm sorry, Maverick.
I do think that many blacks play the victim, and play the race card. When it's
convenient,
very convenient. It's one thing if it's blatant, but if you're doing 95 down I-75, you didn't get pulled over because you're black. You got pulled over because you fucking speed. Now, anything after that could be because you're black.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure you were driving so fast he didn't know what the fuck race you were.
Mm-hmm.
But
that you were racing because you were doing 95.
As far as the question of do I think that we have a right to play the victim whenever we want, I would say no. I like to deal in facts and totality of circumstances. So I don't think that there should be manipulation on either side. I think you should just stick to what the facts are. If something is happening to you because of your race, then yeah, you call that shit out right on the spot. But if it's not, like, don't try to get ahead by saying, I'm black, so I can manipulate the situation and, like, fuck you over. But that's just my opinion. What was the other question? You had another
episode? No, I mean, that was pretty much it. Like, do you think we have the right to do it because of lack of opportunities or lack of resources? Do you feel that because of the atrocities that we face that, you know, we use that as a term to, you know, to help aid us in our fight or in our cause?
I mean, I don't know. You know me, I try to stick to the straight and narrow. But people are going to be people. People are going to do what they feel. I just feel like that kind of sets you further back as a people if you get into too much manipulation.
Right.
Then you kind of are being what they're saying that you were in the first place.
Right.
You crooked, you shysty, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you're playing into that stereotype.
Yeah, living with it, saying, yeah.
I think it's much easier to catch racist people in the workplace than people realize. And if you just do that, then you can start to clean house versus trying to, you know, manipulate your way up to the top. So
true. Kenny, what's your thoughts?
I don't think we should get a pass to basically call racism on everything. I feel like, you know, like what Phil was saying, if it's racism, call it out. But if it's not, then you don't need to cry racism, because when it does actually occur, you're taking away the weight from, you know, that time. You know, just do right or do wrong, but don't blame racism for it if that's not really what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, but Fifth Avenue and Royal Oak races is shit. I experienced it.
Why is that?
So, the clothing incident that you had, it was me, two of my guys down there. I'm walking in. I got I think I had a Lions hat on or some shit. And they were getting ready to let me in. One of my partners had an entire Detroit Pistons hookup. And they like, no sportswear. He's like, but you just let him in. He had a Lions hat on. He's like, no sportswear in here. Now, what was the difference between the two of us? I had on casual boots, some kind of like some fitted jeans or whatever, and a button-up.
A little more acceptable.
Right. And he had the Detroit hat on, and it was a hoodie, and he looked more urban. And he was like, no, you can't wear sportswear in here. What, like, so what is that about?
See, I would have wanted a definition. Like, what are you saying? Hoodies? Is it the hat? That, you know, I would have asked for an explanation.
Yeah, he was like, no sportswear. He's like, but you just let my mans in. But it was because I was, in their eyes, I was dressing to what they felt was acceptable, because it's like, you dress more like our culture because you got a button up on and you got your casual boots. Mm-hmm. He can't come in here with J's.
They was letting that hat pass. They was letting that hat. I don't think they was looking at that hat. They was looking at everything else.
Yeah.
And but like, still yeah. sports.
They like, this
sportswear.
Dude, you know, he looked preppy the coming in here.
Sportswear.
This guy's like, you know, you're not coming here with this urban wear. You're gonna start some trouble.
But if yep. that's their
that don't mean it's a hoodie though. It's clothes. It's cotton though.
In real life.
You can't let me in with a hat and not let him in with a hat.
So,
because he didn't say hoodie. He's just say like you can't wear like sports teams and he's like and it's a whole like setup.
Okay, so he said sports teams
like
and
a
yeah.
hat is not your outfit. You know what I'm saying?
I'm
like,
not my hat.
You can take your hat if you come on the spot. You could take mm-hmm. that hat off.
Right.
And you're still presentable, or mm-hmm. you're still fitting into their dress code.
Their dress code. Is that their dress code?
And that could have been.
It should have been posted. You know, if you need a button up, you know, it should have been posted. What would be considered sportswear? Like no baseball hats, no hoodies.
Show me the policy.
Like tell me, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it needed to be posted.
But the policy does not have to be posted for it to be enforced. Like when you go to a restaurant, it doesn't have to be.
As long as it's consistent, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You can't tell me I can get in with the Lions and he can't get in with the Pistons.
But it wasn't your outfit got you in. You just happened to have a hat on. The hat could have said Mississippi,
if you was white,
or whatever.
That mm-hmm. would have been an issue. But you talk about
I think it doesn't matter though. Like I don't think you should like I don't think because Phil is viewed in their eyes as passable and acceptable in that situation. If you say no sportswear includes hats, hoodies, shoes, pants, sportswear. Right?
Yeah.
If I had Pistons
it's
around
a sports my sports team, yeah. that's sportswear. He didn't say no hoodie.
Yeah, he said sportswear. Like I don't care if I had a button on. That's sportswear. Like to me,
and
sports, that's too broad.
Crowd, it's hella people in there
too
with
broad.
Hats on.
Too broad.
Get in with
and, but you
hats
went first
on.
Off. Hats but my on. Thing is, first off, you in Detroit, right? I'm going to support my team.
Royal Oak.
Okay. Well, you in Michigan near Detroit.
Your basketball team.
Your basketball team. You supporting your basketball team. It, that shouldn't even be a policy. Like, what is that going to do?
That's a whole different story.
Business.
Right.
If I choose to say that I only want people who wear a certain type of clothing in here, then that's my right, right? Mm-hmm. You want to support this business, then you follow the rules that I set forth.
But you can't say no sportswear and then give a pass to a hat. I'm just going
to
say that.
I think it needs to be a definition of what they consider sportswear.
I think you should use your mic when you talk.
I think they know.
See, I need the other one. I need to stand.
Put the stand on.
I ain't got nothing to put this.
Just hold the mic, dog.
No, you look comfortable like holding the mic like that anyway.
Can we get back to the comment when he called him sis, though?
Can we get back he didn't even notice it. He was just going to keep talking.
I mean, yeah, I just had to call it out.
Oh, boy.
But, okay, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. I thank y'all for your opinion. I know we can talk on this subject all day and express, A, the experiences we had, and B, just the frustrations hearing other stories and just the constant bullshit that keep going on. So, thank you guys. Thank you for you know, being able to come out and especially have it together. These motherfuckers trying to steal home, I think. I don't know what they're doing. But so Thank you guys. Thank you, Lake, Tiffany, Keenan, thank Phil, Smitty. Thank you guys for being a part of the show. As always, shout out to Diddy and Revolt. Shout out to Barstool. Shout out to Spotify, Tidal. Who I'm missing? Give me somebody. Shout out Stitcher. Shout out to iHeartRadio. We're trying to get signed. We got student loan debt to pay. So, you know.
Apparently, and we talked about that a lot this show.
Yeah. So please help us. Debt. Help us. Help us. Please. I sing and dance for you, Master. I mean, I'm sorry.
Thank you, our sponsor, Sky Edibles.
Yeah, because Sky Edibles.
And Sweet Teas.
And Sweet Teas Car Wash. And if you mention fuck your feelings at Sky Edibles, you are a 10% discount. 40. Oh, it's 29?
Yeah, it's up.
Oh, look at this nigga. Up. No, look at you feeling Edibles. Very light skinned.
Oh, and that cream, I'm telling y'all, that cream.
Yes.
That cream had my feet feeling so good. I walk 5 miles every day, and man, that cream took some of the pain appeal. Away. I'm just
in late. The snow.
Yeah. I'm gonna walk up you.
Hey, hey. Wait, I don't know if that's a
come on.
Whoa, shit.
Come on, now. I got, come on.
Stop before y'all get me pregnant. So anyways, thank y'all again.
Just got aroused.
Listen, it keep ew. What the fuck? Ew. You like to get walked on into that S&M shit?
Mm-hmm. Me up. Slap me
I always knew you was a nasty nigga. That's why you want to fuck more. That's why you've been told to fuck more so you can get beat. Mm-hmm.
I want to try golden shower and all that shit.
Oh my god,
I don't want to get peed on now. I want to pee on somebody.
You know,
I want to pee on somebody else.
Keep that story, muscle. So anyway,
edit this out.
Well, I mean, if you ever
you gotta chill.
Listen, if you ever been squirted on, that's pee.
I know, right? I keep telling people that.
So. Anyway, thank you guys again. Follow the show at @fuck_yo_feelings on IG, Twitter, Instagram. We got merch coming very soon. I'm rocking the shirt right now that y'all can't really see because they ain't got no camera. But anyway, we got it out there. And as always, yo, thank y'all again. And fuck your feelings. One.